But anyway, yeah, so this week's Parshas Baaluska, and just again, like I said, we're just going to do a couple of quick hitters, maybe like 10, 15 minutes, just a short 2 points, not connected, not related, but with good, I think, mussar either way. So Baaluska has in it something called the Nunim Hafuchim, which is the upside down nuns. Do you know what that is? Anybody know what that is? It's okay if you don't. It's okay. If you ever look in a Sefer Torah, usually there are words written in the Sefer Torah, but there's never punctuation or anything, except for in this week's Parsha, where you have two backwards nuns surrounding the psukim of Vayibin Soa Aron, Vayimra Moshe, Kuma Hashem Yavafutu. You guys are familiar. So what's going on with that? So Chazal explained that basically that little Parsha wasn't there. And if you look at the whole flow of the Parsha, I mean, when I say that Parsha wasn't there, sorry, what did I mean that Parsha wasn't there? That Parsha is in the wrong place. Vayibin Soa should have been a lot earlier. Meaning, if you look at the flow of the Parsha, basically there's this whole dramatic completion of the Mishkan, almost, and there's almost a celebratory mood going on in the Psukim. It's very dramatic. Moshe calls to Yisro, hey, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, come on, let's go, join us. And the Aron is leading them. It's very, very dramatic if you almost like kind of like read through the lines. And then all of a sudden, you have these Nunim HaFuchim, these little kind of backwards nuns. And then you have a disaster after disaster after disaster. You have a bunch of plagues. You have a plague in this week's Parsha. You have Miriam's Lashon Hara. You have the Meraglim, the spies. You have Korach. You have basically everything goes downhill after this little flip. And the question is, what's going on over here, and what is what happens to Bnei Yisrael over here? So again, without going into a longer schmooze, the first thing that hits after these upside down nuns, the first thing that hits is, I'll just read to you the psukim, very quickly. Vayihi ha'am kimisoninim rab yozne Hashem. Right, the nation was complaining, and it was bad in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem got upset, and there was a plague. Moshe davens. Okay, the plague dies out. The very next, two psukim later, Vasafsuf asher bekirbo hisavu ta'ava. The people amongst the nation, hisavu ta'ava. You guys know what ta'ava is. Ta'ava is a desire. Vayashuvu vayivku, and they sat and they cried. Gam b'nei Yisrael, vayomaru mi yochilinu basar. They complained. They said, why don't we get meat? Right, they had man. Right, they have a whole complaining here about the man. And then they say, why don't we get meat? Oh, I remember the meat that was in Mitzrayim, etc., etc. Now, if you have been paying attention to Parsha Prep, you will know that this is not the first time that Bnei Yisrael complained for meat. In Parshas B'Shalach, Bnei Yisrael complained, we have no food, we have no meat. What's going to happen? So in this week's Parsha, in Parshas B'Shalach, Kosh Baruch Hu gets really upset, says, okay, I'm going to send you the slav, right, the meat, but then there's a massive plague and a ton of people died. In Parshas B'Shalach, what was Hashem's response to the complaining? Hashem said, no problem. You have no food? No problem. Here's bread, here's meat. That's right, they already had meat. They were complaining about perhaps the meat that they already had. So what's the question is, but Chazal explains that, what's the difference? What's going on over here? Why over here in Parshas Baaluska did Bnei Yisrael complain and Hashem sent a plague? And in Parshas B'Shalach, Bnei Yisrael complained and Hashem sent them bread, man min Hashemayim, and meat as well, slav at night. So the answer that you guys could probably come up with on your own, and again, if we're doing a little longer session, I'd definitely ask you for your input, but we'll definitely do that with Hashem next week. But the answer is, at least one of the answers is that there's complaining and there's complaining. When Bnei Yisrael left Egypt, so when they were complaining, hey, no offense, Hashem, you took us out of Egypt, now we have no food, that's very legitimate complaining. Right? If you're going to promise to take us out, right, as we've been doing this for Makos, the whole deal, right, we're going through this, all of a sudden you're not going to feed us in the desert, what was the point? So Hashem was like, fine, you got, yeah, absolutely, no problem. But now, what was going on? Bnei Yisrael were complaining about the gifts that they already had. Right? So that Hashem had no patience for. That Hashem, I'm dropping bread every morning, I'm dropping meat at night. I don't want to hear it at that point. Nekosh Baruch Hu, right, said the plague. And I think the lesson is very, very simple, but something perhaps sometimes that we forget is that, obviously, when we say the phrase "Gamzu L'tova," everything is good. Everything Hashem does is for the best, etc., etc. But it's not so easy to put that into practice. Like, you know, I've had Baruch Hashem many, many girls, and I asked for this honestly at, let's say, one of my meals at the Shabbos table, and I asked them for comments, not knowing I'm getting complaints, but the comments I'm looking for are usually constructive, and sometimes there's complaining, and sometimes there's complaining. And the difference between constructive complaining and just complaining, I think, is a tremendous difference. And I'm not saying that you're not allowed to complain. What I'm saying is that the midah of hakaras hatov changes the complaining from, you know, perhaps something that's legit to something that, oh, you know what, I probably shouldn't be bothering about that. Meaning, when a person has really true hakaras hatov to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and you really are able to focus on the good, so the bad complaining disappears. Right? There is no such thing as bad complaining, because everything is great. You focus on the positives. Right? If something is legitimately wrong or something is legitimately broken, so then that's fine. That's the good type of complaining that Bnei Yisrael did in Bishalach. But when we're lacking in Hakaras HaTov, when we're not focusing really on the good things that in our lives, so then very often the bad complaining can seep in. And I think, what, you know, at least for the Shana Off girls, I just went back, so I think you could see that. And one of the ways you can see that is when you get a little distance from something. Because, for example, let's say a month ago, I had girls at my Shabbos table, and they're complaining about X, Y, and Z. If you would ask them about that experience now, a month later, they wouldn't even remember what they were talking about, because all they have is good memories. And very often, when we get a little distance from something, so then we're able just to focus on the positive. So one of the tricks that Chazal explained is that if, for whatever reason, you find yourself in a complaining kind of mindset, so it's good to take a step back and kind of reassess and then revisit at a little bit of a later date, because very often you're able to then see the positives in what is actually going on and what a Kosh Baruch Hu is really doing for you. Okay, that's Shmooze number one. Shmooze number two is a little bit technical, so bear with me, but the vort at the end is amazing. It's a Shmooze by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, a bunch of decades ago. Basically, one of the malachos on Shabbos is called soser, is called destroying. And the way the Mishnah explains that malacha is, it's called soser al menas livnos. You destroy in order to build in the same place. Now, the reason that's true is because the malachos on Shabbos are inherently constructive. Right? What are we doing when we refrain from malacha on Shabbos? We're resting from inherently constructive or creative actions, right? And we're taking a day to recognize that really Hashem is the one who creates and is constructive. And, you know, we take a step back from our own creations and realize that Hashem is really the one pulling the scenes pulling the strings from behind the scenes. So that's, all malachas are constructive. Now, soser, destroying, is not inherently constructive. So therefore, the way the Mishnah phrases it is that it's destroying in order to build. Okay, right? That's the malacha midaraisa. If you would destroy destructively, if you just take a piece of paper and rip it in half, so that's not the malacha midaraisa. That's the malacha derabanan, but probably. But the malacha midaraisa is to destroy in order to build. Let's say to Lego is not necessarily usher, but that's the idea. I mean, to destroy the house in order to build something in its place. That's a bad example because it's not probably not usher, but you know what I'm saying. Okay. So it says the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Lamed Aleph says, where do you know that soser, that destroying in order to build, is one of the 39 malachos? So we know that we get the 39 malachos from the Mishkan, right? From Bnei Yisrael being in the desert. So the Gemara says, where was their destruction in order to build in the same place in the desert? So the Gemara says, in a pasuk from this week's Parsha, that Bnei Yisrael, when they would dismantle, right, they would travel throughout the desert, they would dismantle both the Mishkan, right, that's, again, if you're looking for the Mishkan, and I guess also their homes, but if you're looking for an example of the Mishkan, they would disassemble the Mishkan in order to build it at the next place, where they were traveling to. Question is, that's not destroying in order to build in the same place, that's destroying in order to build somewhere else. So the Gemara says, no. It was actually destroying in order to build in the same place. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Al pi Hashem yachanu ve'al pi Hashem yiso." Because Hashem was the one who determined when they were going to leave. That they traveled based on al pi Hashem, based on the command of Hashem, and they traveled based on Hashem's command. And therefore, it was as if they built it in the same place. What in the world does the Gemara mean? That it was the dismantling of the Mishkan was considered dismantling in order to build in the same place, even though it wasn't, because it was because everything was done al pi Hashem. Because when they listened to Hashem when they traveled, Hashem was in charge of when they left. What is going on over here? So Chaim Shmulevitz says an unbelievable word. He says that if you would take a kid, let's say Chevy's right now walking around in the supermarket. This is a great example. Chevy's walking around in the supermarket with her nephews. So if you would ask Chevy at the end of the day, where were you today? So she would tell you, I was in the supermarket. I went to the mall. I went to get a coffee. I went to learn. I went to whatever. She would list off a bunch of places. If you'd ask her nephews, where were you today? You know what they would tell you? I was with Chevy. It says in Chaim Shmulevitz that when you're al pi Hashem, when you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where you are. Meaning, yes, Bnei Yisrael were physically in different places, but since they were listening to what Hashem said, they were al pi Hashem Yachnu, al pi Hashem Yisrael, right? Even though they went from place A to place B physically, they was always with Hashem. Right? He used the example of a mother and a child, and a one-year-old. It's like, where do you ask the mother? I went here, I went there, I went there. Where do you ask the two-year-old, where did you go today? Where were you with? I was with Ima. So when we're with Abba, when we're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're with Hashem, then we're in the same place. And that feeling of having Hashem with us all the time, even though we're technically traveling from different places, is a tremendous, tremendous feeling. And that's ultimately the goal. The goal is to feel as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us everywhere we go, right? And regardless of what we're doing. So that, I think, is a tremendous word, and I think a tremendous musar. And that ultimately, sometimes we kind of lose the forest for the trees. We're trying to figure out all the tiny details of a Jewish life, and obviously they're crucial. But sometimes we almost forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And almost really the whole point is to live a life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mishra Hashem, we should be zocha to, through this learning that we're going to hopefully embark on together, we should be zocha to have kind of a reminder of that. And I wish you guys a great Shabbos, and I'm excited to do this a little bit, perhaps more permanently. We'll talk about if you guys want to do Chumash, you guys want to do Halacha, you guys want to do Musar, whatever, what format, we'll figure it out. But either way, it's great to see everybody. Good to see your faces, and have a great Shabbos. No problem. Have a great Shabbos. Be good. Shabbat Shalom.